Welcome to the Gathering Place Silverton Teaching Podcast. We are a community committed to helping people learn and live the way of Jesus in Silverton. We believe that our growth happens best within community. If you're not yet a part of a Jesus-centered community, we invite you to join us for one of our Sunday gatherings or go to gatheringplace.faith to find out more about how to get connected.
Oh man, well, just want to say welcome to all of you this morning. My name is Lainey Bliss, and I am one of the pastors here on staff at The Gathering Place. If you're a guest here, we're so glad you're here for the first time, and we can't wait to get to know you. And then for everyone else, I'm so glad to see you as well. Want to let you guys know we have our kids' tables available at the back of the room if you guys need some space for kids to spread out and color. We also have, like Lacey and James talked about earlier, we have our kids' Sunday school open around the corner through our parents' room. So all of those things are available to you guys this morning. All right. Okay, well, if you guys hang around me enough, you're going to come to learn, a fair number of things about me, I'm sure, but this thing in particular, that I love, love, love to sing, okay? It's one of my favorite things to do. When I'm working, I'm probably singing. When I'm driving, I'm definitely singing. When I'm talking, sometimes I sing the words that I'm talking to someone. I just love to sing, and I always have loved to sing. And I really, in particular, love musical theater. Like, my Spotify Wrapped at the end of every year is like worship music and then show tunes. And I am I'm unashamed of my show tune listening, right? And I love, something that I love to do is challenge myself to sing parts or songs that are difficult to sing, right? A great example is from a pretty popular musical right now called Wicked. Anyone ever heard of it? Yeah, it is a song called Defying Gravity. And it's a really hard song to sing in general. Let's listen to this side-by-side of like the original Elphaba and the most recent Elphaba from the movie, singing like the kind of penultimate song. Okay, here we go. Yeah, okay, so that is kind of a hard song to sing. And what we just listened to was the lady on the bottom was the original singer of that song when the play came out. And Cynthia Erivo was the most recent Elphaba in the movie, okay? And she is ridiculously good. And you guys, on most days by myself in my car where I have weirdly good acoustics, I am lucky if I can hit the Idina Menzel notes, right? And they're not pretty, but I hit them. but there is no way that I am getting to Cynthia Erivo level good, right? There are times when I'm singing that I find that my natural ability is not enough to sing the parts I want in the way that I want. This is the thing with singing, right? It's a craft that requires continual growth. And even the most talented, effortless singers, which I'm not saying I am, hear me, but the most talented, effortless singers in the world, they reach a point where their natural ability can no longer carry them forward. To grow beyond what is natural and reach new limits of ability, it takes years of practice, effort, time, exercises like vocal massage, vocal exercises, vulnerability, and perseverance, right? What I want is to be Cynthia level good now, but I can want that all day long. It is never gonna happen, right? I would have to work hard to get there. It takes patience over years and daily right action to grow and maintain your voice. Developing skill in anything does not happen overnight. Can we agree? Yeah. It takes patience. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this moment where we can be together and hear from you. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to slow down right now and receive what you have for us today. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for this space we can gather together. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so you might have already guessed it based on our Fruit of the Spirit series and also what we just talked about, that this morning we're going to talk about patience. And we've been in this series for a couple of weeks, but I want to go ahead and start off by rereading the scripture out of Galatians and doing a quick recap. So Galatians 5, 22 through 25 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Okay, so James taught us that there's really only one fruit of the Spirit. You know, they mention a lot, but he taught us that the singular fruit of the Spirit is to be Christ-like, the fruit of Christ-likeness. And then this list in the scripture, they're like attributes of what it looks like to be Christ-like. And as we follow Jesus and are in an abiding relationship with Jesus, there's an invitation and a promise that the Spirit of God will be at work to transform us into the image of Jesus, that over time we will become like Jesus. This is a work that only the Holy Spirit can do. We cannot create more of these attributes in ourselves, but we can position ourselves for his transformation, and he will build it into us. Okay, so let's talk about patience. To best understand what patience is, I want to present this tea table to you. So let's go ahead and take a look at it. Oh, that one's hard to see. I'm sorry about that. Okay, that's okay. Over here on the impatience category, we have irritability, restlessness, haste, dissatisfaction, discontentment, displeasure, anger, and frustration. Would you guys agree that that's a pretty fair representation of impatience? Yeah. Okay, and on the patience side, we have forbearance, which is a word I had to look up, and it means to be tolerant and have self-control, right? And then long-suffering, perseverance, endurance, those are all words that relate directly to time requirements. Being willing to be patient for the necessary time required. And then steadfastness, which is being firm and unwavering. And then constancy, which is regular and rhythmed and consistent, right? And then slow to anger. There's other versions that say long in the nose, which means that we are willing to slow down and not react, but be slow to responding. Okay. These are the underlying attributes of patience. Something that I've noticed about impatience is that when we are impatient, we are reactive, right? When someone cuts you off in traffic, you have road rage. And then when someone, I don't know, kicks you in the shin, you fly off the handle and you get angry. There's an easy reaction to what has just taken place. And reactions from a place of impatience can be really untrustworthy, right? Has anyone reacted in impatience and that's not true to what your character is? It's not trustworthy, right? Impatience points towards us not being content or being ill at ease about something. Often, for me, impatience points towards some sort of dysregulation in my spirit, body, mind, right? And dysregulation, if you don't know, is described in this way. Dysregulation can cause us to have a hard time managing and controlling emotions, leading to fast reactions that are often too intense, long-lasting, or out of proportion to the situation. It can result in impulsive behaviors, mood swings, persistent irritability, and difficulty calming down, which can negatively impact your relationships and overall well-being. That's dysregulation. I'm going to drop some family lore on you guys here. In our family, we have this saying. The saying is, oh, you pulled a blank, right? When you don't wear the right shoes for an activity, you're pulling a Jen, okay? When you turn a 2-minute story into a 10-minute story, you're pulling a Barry. Those are all innocent enough, right, you guys? But when you pull a Lainey, it's not that cute, okay? Unfortunately. So a few years ago, our family was at Disney World, and as we were walking into the theme park, our brother Dexter lifted his backpack and his back went out. And if you've ever thrown your back out, walking for 13 hours a day is just like not even a thought, right? You're like, I can't even stand up. How can I possibly walk? So we rented him a wheelchair and we pushed him around all over Disney World while we were there. The thing about Disney World, if you've never been there, is that it's huge. It's multiple theme parks. It is vast. It's spread out across like a whole county that Disney owns in Florida, right? And so it takes a while to experience it. So we are at this point in the story, 3 days in to doing Disney. We are tired. We are exhausted. We've been bustling around, our feet hurt. We've been at all these different theme parks. We've been waiting in lines. We're navigating crowds. We've all eaten entirely too much food that our bodies can't process, and we're not feeling awesome, okay? In my defense, this is prime for a good mental crash out, okay? Like anybody could do this, okay? So it's day 3, and we're getting on to the tram, the monorail, to take us back to the entrance of the Magic Kingdom. And my family, we get to the front of the line, and they all load onto the tram. Dexter gets out of the wheelchair, and I'm standing outside the tram, left with the wheelchair. Okay. And there's like a line of people behind me waiting to board. And you know, you ever in a line that people are moving ahead of you, but you're like slow and you can't, and there's like an anxiety that builds up. And so I'm standing there with this wheelchair and I'm starting to get kind of anxious. And I really am like trying to figure out how to collapse this thing, but there's not like instruction and there's not a lever. And there's like, I thought maybe if you pulled it from the center, it would kind of fold up. It didn't. Okay. And so I'm like wrestling this thing up and I'm huffing and puffing and I'm like, what do we do? And then I look at my family sitting peacefully in the tram, watching me. And in exasperation, I'm like, why do I have to do everything myself? And I scream that at them in public. And they look at me like, what? It was crazy, you guys. And what was even funnier, and this is so God, is that as I'm like, everything myself, the wheelchair folded. And I was able to pick it up and put it on the tram. And then I went and I sat down. And everyone looked at me like, and I said, yeah, okay, that was crazy. I'm sorry, guys. And the tension broke. So now you all know that pulling a Lainey is when you have to do everything yourself. So if you hear that, I'm probably getting laughed at. So here's the thing. In that moment, I had no reason to freak out. It's not a situation, it's not life and death to collapse the wheelchair, right? But my impatience, my anxiety of holding up the line had me moving too fast. And because of that, I lost it, and I acted from a place of dysregulation and frustration rather than patience. I worked myself up just now. Okay, what I've learned is that when we are living in dysregulated and we are living in a dysregulated and unaligned world, right? We've talked about this. Culturally, we're told to think entirely of self, wrapped up in anxiety and our own issues, like James talked about last week, striving for approval, wealth, glory, fighting our way to the top. For what? Things or status or whatever, and it all ultimately returns void. And the enemy would just love to keep us fighting and hustling and striving for the wrong things, right? He would love to keep us trapped in dysregulation and out of alignment with God. But thank God, he offers us regulation and alignment through relationship with him and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit helps regulate us, right? He brings us from chaos into order. He helps us step outside of a worldly view into a kingdom view. He develops Christ-likeness in us. Remember Galatians 5:25 said, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That is how we develop Christ-likeness. Okay, so the Holy Spirit regulates us. When we're regulated, aligned to the way of Jesus, and in tune with the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to slow down and live patiently. I know we've described impatience already today, but an additional definition of impatience is this: the feeling of being unable or unwilling to wait or tolerate delay. Impatience is intrinsically fast-paced. But Scripture is clear that we, if we want to be people of patience, have to slow way down. And actually, it often requires that we not just slow way down, but we wait. Isaiah 40:31 says this, but those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This word wait means to tarry or linger together. Another way that it's put in Scripture is to remain. Does that ring any bells? When we wait on the Lord, we are abiding in his presence. We are tarrying with him. And this word tarry is all over Scripture, you guys. Here's just a few examples. Jesus invited his disciples, his best friends, to tarry, to wait with him in the garden while he was preparing to go to the cross. And after his death, when he returned, Jesus instructed the disciples to tarry in the city to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. He invites us to tarry with him. And in order to be people of patience, we have to slow down and tarry, wait with the Lord, remain with the Lord. And notice in that scripture, that Isaiah scripture, when we wait on the Lord, something is still happening, right? He renews our strength. We mount up with wings like eagles. We get to run without weariness. We get to walk without being faint. So in our waiting, it doesn't mean that nothing else is happening. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's so good. Tarrying with the Lord develops something in us. And when we do this, and we are in step with the Spirit, because abiding with Jesus teaches us how to hear his truth, and the Holy Spirit is faithful to remind us of his truth, right? We get to be in step with the Spirit, and the Spirit reveals that truth. Okay, so what was the truth in the pulling a Lainey story? Well, I'll tell you what I was telling myself was the truth at that time in my skewed, dysregulated understanding was that my family didn't care enough about me to help me in my struggling, that they abandoned me to do everything myself. That was the dysregulated understanding I had. But when we are moving fast and only looking at situations from the point of view of me and my crisis, it's really hard for us to see the real truth, the reality, right? The bigger picture. In fact, I would posit that it's impossible for us to see the bigger picture when we're here in our dysregulation. We can't see beyond what's right here in front of us, right? But the fruit of Christ-likeness in us and this attribute of patience means that we have the ability, in partnership with Holy Spirit, to slow down and see reality. John 8:31-32 says this, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Holy Spirit, his whole role is to point us back to the truth of Jesus. And when we're living dysregulated, misaligned, apart from Jesus, we live blinded and imprisoned, right? We cannot see clearly. But when we are slow, waiting on the Lord, the Spirit reveals truth that sets us free from confusion, from misunderstanding, because that's not who God is. He's not a God of confusion and misunderstanding. Truth allows us to see clearly. Okay. We get eyes and hearts to see ourselves and others the way that Jesus sees us. Here's the thing. Jesus does see you and me in full truth. He sees us and our flaws and our sinful humanity. That is the truth. But also, what is true is that he loves us so much that even in our flaws and our sin, he made a way for us to be redeemed. This is grace, okay? The truth is, I'm flawed, but God has chosen to love me still. I'm redeemed by the love that he has on offer. Can there be a greater example of patience? That while we were still sinners, not repented, not turned away from our sin, Christ died for us. Scripture says this in John 1:14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Our God is all-knowing. Jesus knows that there are people who might never turn away from sin and turn towards him. And yet he still chose to die for us and for them. This is the greatest example of patience we will ever know. It shows us that Jesus' understanding of truth and his heart full of grace for his people is how we live aligned, right? Now, as Christ followers, we have access to the same eyes and hearts that Jesus beholds us with. Eyes and hearts full of grace and truth. This way, we are able to zoom out of a situation that we're in, right? And see the bigger picture, see reality with clear sight and open hearts. Grace and truth helps us to respond instead of react, because there's a difference. Proverbs 17:27 says this, the one who has knowledge restrains his words, and one who keeps a cool head is a person of understanding. Grace and truth provide us with a greater understanding. When we see situations through the lens of Jesus, it's so much easier to keep a cool head. Anyone been there? Yeah, we try. To be a person of patience, we have to see each other through the lens of Jesus. James 1:19 says this, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Patience is not reactive. It is slow to act. Being reactive means acting out of instinct or emotional response to an event, often with impulsive, knee-jerk reactions, right? But being responsive involves a thoughtful, intentional pause to assess a situation before taking a deliberate and measured action. Patience leads to responding, not reacting. When someone's bugging you, your kid sits down and they tap your arm, your coworker walks in, whatever it might be, instead of being irritated, you are empowered to look at them through the lens of Jesus. And in grace and truth, slowly, thoughtfully, deliberately, intentionally, pause in order to see how the Holy Spirit wants you to respond. I've been in a number of amazing, holy moments when my options were, one, to blow someone off and ignore them, or say, hey, homie, what's going on? Truly, those moments, when I engage them, have turned into some of the most beautiful times of ministry. Believe me, though, I know the temptation. Sometimes it seems a lot better to binge watch TV than talk to the people you live with. Sometimes it seems better to be so absorbed in work that when my coworker walks in, I'm like, what do you want? Right? It's easy. That feels like the thing that we want to do sometimes. Sometimes it seems better to fill your schedule so full of thing to thing to thing to thing to thing that you have to run from place to place and there's no time for errors. Like, these are things that I feel. But being a person of patience leads to holy moments. And it requires stepping outside of our fast-paced impulse to react in impatience and instead step into slow response that comes from Jesus. It requires us to make ourselves available and invite Holy Spirit to lead us. Looking back to that Disney World trip, wouldn't it have been so wonderful if I had been slow to anger and responded rather than reacted? My family were exhausted and they thought I had it handled. I'm normally a person that can be relied upon to handle things, right? They were not trying to abandon me, but instead were doing the best they could with the situation that we were in. The Holy Spirit, in grace and truth, could turn my original skewed understanding from I am abandoned and alone into a posture of grace and truth that says they are tired and it's okay for me to take my time packing up this wheelchair. The people in line are gonna be okay if I am slow, and I get to take care of the people I love most by handling this, right? Do you see what grace and truth did there? Not only did it give me a new way to look at the people that are in my life with kindness and reality, but it also gave me the ability to look at myself with kindness and reality and offer grace and truth and patience to both. Patience allows us to step back, assess the situation, and then respond like Jesus would. Finally, patience leads to resilience, trust, and fulfillment in God. God's intentions were never for us to be able to do life apart from Him. We've been talking about this, right? We were always supposed to be aligned in Him, regulated by Him. And as we grow in Christ's likeness, our patience will lead us toward resilience and trust in God. And it will be so much easier to live in that Christ-likeness because we are living out of a place of resilience and trust. Psalm 46:10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God." And then Proverbs 3:5-6 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." I think sometimes waiting for what we want and living slow and waiting on the Lord can mislead us, right? Some of us are waiting for what we want, and that's not inherently bad. But if we are waiting in the way the world shows us to wait, there's a potential breeding ground for discontent and dissatisfaction, right? Waiting on the Lord is about being with him, not money, please, waiting, right? That's not what it's about. Waiting on the Lord is about being with him, tarrying with him, remaining in him, abiding. It's not about waiting for something. It's about waiting with God. Truthfully, we may not always or ever get what we want. I'll tell you this, I'm 30 and I'm single, and sometimes I feel so impatient in my singleness, okay? This is like a little vulnerable. I feel so impatient sometimes. Like, hello, God, where's my mans? Hello. I'm awesome, hello. And when I think about what so many around me have and what I don't have, it can be really easy for me to get discontent. But honestly, you guys, I am just at a point where I have to refuse to live that way. Waiting for something or someone to fulfill me is never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And it's so exhausting. And it's so exhausting to be in this place. And the enemy would love for us to be exhausted living there trapped, lamenting over what we do not have. Guys, that leads to dysregulation and life apart from Jesus, stuck in dissatisfaction, lack of fulfillment, and impatience. Because our only fulfillment comes from a life of reliance and trust and relationship with God. Our jobs will never fulfill us, no matter how much we want them to. Our families, no matter how amazing, will never fully fulfill us. Nothing we accomplish in this life of the world will ever fulfill us. Only relationship with God will fulfill us. Only relationship with God will hit the deepest, most innermost part of ourself that says it's still not enough. It's like that song from The Greatest Showman, it'll never be enough. That's the truth. What the world has for us will never be enough. And we think more and more and more and more that'll make it enough. It never will. It is void. Only God can fulfill us. And I'm not saying that hoping for something is bad. In fact, Scripture shows us how to hope. I am saying that what Scripture says about hope is that if our hope is not with Jesus, waiting with Jesus, impatience will creep in and we will have to be prepared to take our hope away from the way of the world and give it to God and wait with God in our hope. Otherwise, that impatience will become a weapon for us to use against God and ourselves and everyone around us. It will. Our eyes have to be fixed on him above all things. And we can dream and we can desire and we can hope, but he has to be our greatest hope. He has to be our greatest desire. And if he has the thing that I want, amazing. And if he doesn't, amazing. Because I still have the one thing that will fulfill me, which is him. Yeah. Being with God leads to a life of fulfillment, even in our earthly lacking. I get to live in step with the Spirit, period. No matter what I lack, nothing on earth is important enough to keep us from tarrying with God. And here's the thing. I mentioned it earlier, but we can trust that God in our stillness is never still, right? Earlier I read Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. If we expand and read more of the Psalm, it says this, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted to the ends of the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. Come and see what the Lord has done. In your stillness, what can he do, you guys? What can he do? It's limitless. Maura, I'll have you come on up. I want to share a story with you, and I think he would be okay with me sharing this, but my papa is in the room with us over there. Almost 12 years ago, he had a stroke that debilitated him. He went from being a super fast-moving and get-it-done dude to being so still. Last week, we were at family dinner discussing what we all learned in church, and Papa spoke about having peace, even in the middle of his situation. But what struck me so deeply was that he said this: no matter what happens, if I am healed or not, I know God is good. I know he can do it, and I hope he will. But in it all, he's still good. In Papa's stillness, God is his fulfillment. This is patience in real time. He has no other option but to be still and know that God is God, that he's working even in the stillness. God is working in me through the message that he gave last week. God is working in the stillness. So I want to invite us to take some time to reflect. Everybody on their chairs had a little paper when you walked in. And it just has some reflective questions on it. And let's go ahead and take some time to reflect on those. And I invite you also to take them home with you and continue to reflect on them and ask Holy Spirit to speak to it. Okay, thank you. I wanted to print these out because I just felt like the Lord was saying that we are often impatient with ourselves. Like we hear a message and we think, totally, I have to change. But it takes time. We have to be patient with ourselves. So these are yours to take home and keep considering. Keep asking the Lord, just like with singing, practice patience. Practice. Holy Spirit, help me see people with grace and truth. Keep thinking. Keep presenting these and other things to the Lord, because it does take time, and that's okay. So before we go, I just want to speak this blessing over us. Lord, this week, may we be people who practice patience, in grace and truth, Lord. May we be people who stay in step with your Spirit. May we be people who slow down and see one another through your eyes and your heart, and who see ourselves in that too. May your kingdom come, Jesus, and your will be done in Silverton as it is in heaven. In your name we pray, amen.